Many Asian cultures and countries are strongly influenced by Confucianism. This ethical and philosophical system focuses on a practical order and moral rules in human relationship. For example, the bond between a king and his subject, the bond between parents and children, and the bond between a husband and wife. So historically, many Chinese empires and one Korean empire used Confucianism as their ruling doctrine. Their goal was to build their moral family, society, and country. It doesn't sound very far from biblical goals. But the goals of Confucianism are more humanistic with no essential religious teaching in them. As Christians, we want to see a moral society. Yes, but that is not all. In our passage today, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 13 and 14, Peter addresses the bigger societal picture as he talks about submission to authority. He begins with submission to the civil magistrate, which we will look at this afternoon. And a few verses later, he talks about submission to masters. After chapter 2, Peter continues to talk about the submission of wives to their husbands. As we begin, perhaps we are asking ourselves, why should we submit to the civil magistrate? Why does Peter command his readers and also us to submit to the civil authority? That's our topic for this afternoon. Before we dive into this topic of civil government, I would like you not to think of any specific civil magistrate. Instead, I want you to see the ideal picture of the civil magistrate the Bible tells us about. So let us take a little step back from our own situation and look at the passage itself as we attempt to grab the right reason for submission to civil magistrate. The first reason we should submit to civil magistrate comes when we think of the human king versus King Jesus Christ. The human king versus King Jesus Christ. Look at verse 13 with me. Be subject for the Lord's sake to every human institutions. Other English Bible versions translate human institution as authority institute or authority instituted by man. However, literally, this means be subject to every human creature. The root of the Greek word kritesis, translated into institution here, is creation. Creation. You may find this word in Mark 13:19, Romans 1:25, 1 Corinthians 7:17, etc. All of these verses contain the word creation. The word creation in 1 Peter for human institution is used to indicate that every human institution is under God's feet, His feet. Magistracy is of divine right. Civil government was established in creation before the fall, not as the result of the fall, Adam and Eve did created order and sustained and governed the Garden of Eden. Civil government is divinely instituted by God. As we also think of the human king of any civil government, we must remember what Paul says in Romans 13. He talks about submission to the authorities. And he begins in verse 1, "Let every person be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God. And those that exist have been instituted by God." In the antithesis to this passage, we remember when Satan tested Jesus. He told Jesus, "All these things, all the kingdoms of the world and their glory, I will give you if you fall down and worship me." Satan doesn't have any right to say such a thing, because all the kingdoms of the world already belong to God, and God has already given all authorities to Jesus Christ. Above all human kings and their authorities, God has given the exercise of all authority to the Lord, Jesus Christ. Back to our passage, you see that there are governors sent by the emperor. In the politics of the Roman Empire, that was the colonial policy, colonial strategy in the first century. The governors governed on behalf of Rome. The New Testament lists the names of three governors of Judea: Pilate, Felix, and Festus. These three governors were appointed by the Roman emperor and were directly responsible to him. Governors ruled the land on behalf of their emperor or king. They were appointed and sent by the Roman emperor. Even so, every king, including the Roman emperor, was appointed and sent by God. Above any human king, there is one king of kings. So, a human king who is sent by God, appointed by him, and commissioned by him to govern, will come under the authority of the King, Jesus Christ. Governors sent by the King, and every king sent by King of Kings, Jesus Christ. This is what the Bible teaches us, and this is the reason we submit to the civil magistrate. Given that the civil institution carries with it not merely human authority, believers are under obligation to consider what role God appoints to the civil government. God has established the nation and appointed rulers for certain purposes. Today's passage says that two purposes are to punish those who do evil and to praise those who do good in verse 14. With this, the Westminster Confession of Faith chapter 23, section 1 elaborates, "God, the supreme Lord and King of all the world, hath ordained civil magistrates to be under him over the people for his own glory and the public good. And to this end hath armed them with the power of the sword for the defense and encouragement of them that are good and for the punishment of evildoers. So we need to talk about the aim of public society in order to understand the standard of promoting good things and restraining evil things. So a question arises: what is the standard of good and evil? With this question, this question brings us into our second heading: having a human standard versus God's standard. Human standards versus God's standards. Another word study is called for here. There are a few passages that talk about good works, like Romans 13:3, Ephesians 2:10, 2 Timothy 3:17, Titus 2:14. One thing these passages have in common is that the word good works is always based on God's word. Based on God's word. Moreover, there are three uses of God's law. First, the law of God is a mirror of God's holiness and our unrighteousness. But second and third are more related to our topic today. Second, the law of God is a restraint against sin. And third, the law of God reveals what is pleasing and what is offensive to God. Again, third one, the law of God reveals what is pleasing and what is offensive to God. As we read the Westminster Confession of Faith, based on the Bible, it clearly says that the aim of civil government is for the glory of God. What is the best standard to understand what is pleasing and what is offensive to God? What is the best way to figure out what is good and what is bad? What is the best law for restraint against sin? We believe that the law written on the two tablets God gave Moses and us is the perfect law for all of human life. It says what is good and what is bad. If God's law is the perfect standard for us, all of us, the scriptures should be the standard from which we are to get laws and ethics, right? I'm not talking about theonomy and its complex issues. I'm talking about the very truth. I'm talking about the very broad idea standards that governs all nations, whether that nation is in America, Africa, Asia, or Europe. And regardless of the time, whether in the 1st century, the 15th century, or the 21st century, this is a universal truth beyond time and place. If all laws flow from moral decision, what can bring the most perfect moral laws? What makes the most moral world? This is a very sensitive issue, but not one we easily ignore. So the power and money of a civil government should be used properly and rightly for the public good. This includes protecting God's church as well. Because here, in the church is the center of good works. Well, it should be. I'd like to give a good example of a civil ruler in the Bible. Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, is often referred to as the embodiment of evil. But there was also a Pharaoh who didn't play that role, who functioned as a man of faith. What did the Pharaoh who was with Joseph do? We saw Joseph interacting with Pharaoh. Joseph helps us to understand Christ's future role as king. How did he, the Pharaoh, rule and protect people? We know that this Pharaoh of Egypt trusted and followed Joseph's direction, acting on faith. Good King Pharaoh saved his house and empire. Ultimately, good King Pharaoh saved the church of Jesus Christ. Our testimony says the Holy Spirit enables even unregenerate rulers to fulfill their proper functions. Also says the people are accountable to Jesus Christ for the proper exercise of this responsibility. So this is the reason we should submit even to ungodly rulers. Submit to every authority instituted. This is what Peter talks about. However, the idea of a civil government is that they ought to recognize the divine institution of a civil government. The sovereignty of God exercised by Jesus Christ, and the government duty to rule the civil affairs of men in accordance with the will of God. All nations should kneel before their King, Jesus Christ. Listen to what God's word says and practice their public good for God's glory. It might be very ideal, but it's not merely idea. We've never seen or heard of any nation or civil magistrate that fits the Bible's ideal model. We know that our own society seems to be moving further away from this idea. But it should be our desire. It should be our eagerness. It should be our passion to see ideal nations and civil magistrates. We submit with a heart for God honoring human institutions. We are submitting to civil magistrates because they are called to promote good and restrain evil. So the goal of a civil institution is the glory of God. So, in our submission, we should pray for our governors and officers. They have been appointed by God for certain purposes. We should pray for them that they would seek the glory of Christ, observe Christ's law, and appoint qualified officers who possess excellent natural, moral, and religious qualification, and who work in harmony with Christ's church. So, we submit to human institution through our prayers. As you probably assumed, this topic is more difficult when we talk about application or practice in our daily lives than when we talk about its ideal goal or purposes. But when we talk about its practice, we need to again remember our identity, pilgrims. And our identity will help us to understand biblically how we submit to civil authority and why. Our third heading is submission as humans versus submission as pilgrims. Submission as humans versus submission as pilgrims. We are people who hold dual citizenship. Many of you are American citizens and also heavenly citizens. I'm a Korean and also a person who holds citizenship in heaven. Which citizenship is more valuable to you? Which one is more worthy in your estimation? You know the biblical answer. We cannot serve two masters. It's very important to recognize who we are. It's important because it gives us the order of priority in our submission. Again, we submit to civil ruler, rule and government because this is the commandment of God. We are people bound by God's law first, not people bound by civil law first. To help your understanding, let me give a few examples. If you drive a church van, we don't have, but if you drive a church van, why do you not drive 100 miles an hour on the Lord's Day morning when you are late to service? Is it because of getting a ticket? Of course, yes. But more importantly, it's not a good idea to drive over 100 miles per hour on the freeway in a church van with the sign Los Angeles Reformed Presbyterian Church. I think you can see why. Why do you not kill people who make you angry? Is it because you are afraid to stand in a court of this world? Or is it because you are afraid to stand in God's court? Do not kill. It's God's commandment prior to the civil law. We should understand why we want to submit to civil magistrate. It's for the sake of our Lord, not primarily for the sake of our nation itself, in verse 13. For the sake of the Lord. The paradox that we have eternal heavenly citizenship, but are pilgrims here on earth, brings an element of complexity to us. We submit to civil rule for the sake of Jesus Christ. And we want to see our nation practicing biblical aims. But complicated issues often confront our pilgrim life. Peter was likely writing this letter in Rome during the great persecution brought on during the rule of the emperor Nero. persecution that engulfed the entire region. And yet, Peter still urges his readers to submit to the imperators. We should understand that our submission is not like that of soldiers in military states or countries with a totalitarian rule. Soldiers who are very willing to die for their countries. Countries or kingdoms like the Roman Empire to submit without question. Peter is asking for our submission to be that of pilgrims. It means we must consider how we can and cannot submit to civil rule. Even though we are not living in a communist or Islamic country or in a dictatorship, still we have many issues confronting our faith. Gay marriage, abortion, marijuana, etc. What option should we have? If the state says it's okay, it's legal starting today, is it really okay? Why shouldn't you be very glad that adult video shops are open on every corner of your neighborhood since they are willing to pay lots of taxes? It's legal, but do you really think it would be legal if our government wanted to promote good and restrain evil? Think about that. It's not an easy issue. We are facing these conflicts more than ever, and there are likely to be more coming in the future. We should stand on a firm foundation based on God's word. Who are we and what eternal citizenship we hold tells a great deal about why and how we submit to civil magistrates. We are not just to submit in human submission. Our real submission is toward God alone. And our submission to civil magistrate is because of God's word. The eyes of a pilgrim will teach us the way of submission. In the closing, we do criticize our government at times, don't we? It's okay, but we must remember that our criticism should be based on God's word. We must remember that our criticism should be accompanied by our submission. And we must remember that our criticism should cause us to look at Jesus Christ, who is our true King, not just an ideal King. We are on a journey toward the perfect kingdom. But here and now, we are called to submit to civil institutions. It's out of our primary obedience and submission to God's word that we are called to submit to civil institutions. Amen.